The BGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 583, recorded on August 17th, 2020.
The 583rd edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 416th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am TJ Dinser.
I am Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
Yeah, so a lot of things are happening. But first, let's talk about what we're playing. And I've started playing Final Fantasy VII for the first time. Not remastered.
Wow.
VII.
The original?
Yep, the original. Well, I mean, on PC.
So. Right.
It's also on Xbox. It's on Game Pass, so. Because I haven't gotten past the first stage. I just logged in to get it started. I will say that, you know, playing it, I feel like I'm playing a PlayStation 2 game.
Huh.
I feel like there's a CD in my drive and it's a PlayStation 2. It has that exact feel. And
yes,
I'll explain it later this week when I do the stream.
Nice.
Are you enjoying it so far?
Can you be a little louder?
Are you enjoying it so far?
I have to get used to some of the quirks. For one thing, being in HD did not do it any favors. Because now you have backgrounds that are extremely pixelated. But the characters are on top of it, of these 2D backgrounds. You know, it's just basically a postcard they're walking around on. They're extremely sharp, so there's sort of like this disconnect in which you have extremely sharp characters on a really fuzzy background.
Wow. I thought the backgrounds were pretty good at the time.
Well, no, back then, everything would be the same resolution. So they would look the same. But when you have the characters themselves in super high res to be HD, but didn't change the backgrounds one bit, basically you have a disconnect. The background is 640 by 480, and the characters are 1080p. So you have that weirdness.
Does the version you're playing have like the sort of easy access options where, like, you can skip combat or make it trivial
if I click on the right thumbstick, a left thumbstick, everything's three times faster.
Yes, that's nice.
Yeah. So, the problem I have, though, is the problem, I don't have a manual. If I had bought Final Fantasy VII for the PlayStation 2 back in 2000, I think it was, it would have come with a manual. This does not come with a manual. It comes with a picture of an Xbox 360 controller saying, okay, these are what the buttons do now. The rest you can figure out on your own. So there's no way to look at a manual.
You're going to have to get your hands on a Brady Game Strategy Guide.
Nah.
I could just look at Game Facts now or whatever.
I'm not going to do either. The game has to hold up on its own. I'm glad they put the three times in there because just walking and all of a sudden hitting a random monster, you know, random encounter, makes me want to pull my hair out. I don't like it when it happens in Pokemon. I don't like it when it happens here. Usually, you know, JRPGs have since, if they're going to have random monsters, you'll be able to see them on the screen. You know, they'll just be hit. They'll just be sitting there on you know, as a JRPG, you know, they'll be just sitting there on the ground, and if you want to attack it, fine. You'll want to attack it because you have to grind, but at least here, you know, it's not like you don't know you're about to fight.
Right.
Really boring, long fights. Well, that's what the triple speed is for, anyway.
Hmm.
I want to play Flight Simulator, but I can't, because yeah, you download the game, and then, oh, you have to download 90 gigabytes. And, oh, by the way, there's a couple million people who are trying to download that patch all at the same time.
Yeah, that's quite the download.
So it's a super slow download. And I'm using my solid-state drive, which is only 500 gigabytes. My regular drive is 3 terabytes, but I'm using my solid-state drive for the game because it'll have it. It needs it for, you know, good enough performance. And everybody is raving about it, though. Everybody, left and right. It's the rare time you're gonna have a flight simulator be nominated for Game of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, this is what the game is. You go on a plane and fly and look at the pretty pretty scenery, and that's it.
Yeah, it's incredible how much technology has gone into that scenery.
You know what's funny is that people are also taking advantage of it to fly over places they shouldn't fly over, like Area 51 and North Korea.
That was one of my first questions, is can you fly through no-fly zones? and apparently you can.
Of course. I mean, it's all based on Bing Maps, you know, so. I mean... It's not exactly truthful to say all you do is, fly and look at it, because there you can, you know, for one thing, they have competitions right now who can land at this difficult airport the best and stuff like that. But you can also take official flights, you know, in an Airbus or I think it's a 767 that comes with the game. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you can do that. And there's going to be a crap ton of mods coming out for it. And they'll probably add new game modes. So, what I would like to see is if they add an economic mode. You know, mod adds an economic mode, and you have to build your own fleet of planes by successfully flying from place to place.
Yeah, this will be interesting to see what people come up with.
But as
I'm hoping for a Crimson Skies mod.
That's not going to happen.
It should.
The engine is optimized for just real flight.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you know, even if you've ever flown a plane before and have no idea, the tutorial is extremely thorough, so even non-flyers will be able to get their feet wet really quickly. And of course, you could also, you know, there's about a 500 million sliders going up and down, so you can adjust your experience any way you like. Make it as easy as you want, make it as hard as you want, or realistic as you want.
Mm-hmm.
I am also planning on getting PBA 2K21. PGA, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, wasn't that bowling?
Professional bowling, yeah. Although, you know, I'll say this, I like me a good bowling game, too. There was a game called Brunswick Bowling, which was one of my first reviews for Computer Gaming Magazine. And it was really fun. And it was realistic in that the lane that you were bowling at, the more you bowled, the more it would wear off the oil from the wood. And your ball would react differently as the oil on the wood thinned.
Hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, I really enjoy a good golf game. And it's based on the golf club, which I wasn't really pleased at with the golfing controls. They don't have the tri-click in it, and the analog was really fiddly, I think. But I'm willing to give it a chance, see if they improved.
Yeah.
And I've seen the editor for making golf courses, and it's really good. So. And there's other stuff that I started playing as well. Oh, yeah. I've been going through the Mass Effect trilogy again.
Yes.
I am in the first month of... first portion of the of Mass Effect 3 right now, having made my choices. I don't play Mass Effect 1 much anymore because I have a Mass Effect save file in which I did almost everything. Except deal with Conrad Werner, and it's like, what happened? Oh, I forgot that you could... But I don't feel like going through another play of Mass Effect 1 just to get Conrad Werner in the game. So, for those of you who don't know, Conrad Werner is Shepard's biggest fan. And
oh, yeah. Book.
So, he's not going to be in the game, which is a shame because it's enjoyable to hear Atia say, yeah, kick him in the quad. So, it's fun. And it's one of those games I regularly play on a daily on a yearly basis just to play it again. I'm probably going to play end up playing Grim Fandango again sometime soon. It's like reading a good book. And I have all the difficulties set to narrative, and I armed Shepard with the flare. And the flare is basically the I win button. It does an explosion, a large explosion, and kills everything in it almost immediately. If not immediately. So all the combat is just me saying, flare, you're dead. Flare, you're dead. Flare, you're dead. Anyways, TJ, what have you been playing?
So, oh geez, what have I been playing? I've been playing a lot of League of Legends these last couple days, but I was playing something else.
Good question.
I was playing Fall Guys. That's what I was playing.
Oh, God.
It's fun. It's a very good turn your brain off and just embrace the randomness, embrace the chaos, embrace the schadenfreude of watching other people fail, and try not to fail yourself.
I don't like to play random games because that's what, whether you win or lose, it's kind of random.
But it's so game show-like. I like the charm of it. I like it for all the reasons I like the presentation of Mario Kart 8 or like...
Yeah, but those have actual games to them.
This does too, and it's fun enough. Like, it's a little crummy on PS4 because PS4 has input lag, I think. And actually, I know. It's like just a millisecond of delay. But like on PC, it's pretty crisp. And it's
free on PS4.
Yeah, I guess so. I hope they fix that because it's annoying. Like for a game that is like essentially a platformer with tight requirements for like getting across the finish line or getting to the crown, you shouldn't have input delay.
I mean, if you're playing with people in League of Legends, I'm pretty sure Fall Guys must seem like a fresh air. It's impossible to be toxic in Fall Guys because the entire point is to be toxic.
Yes, the entire point is to thwart other people and seize victory.
And rub their noses in it.
I played a stinker last week. I gave Hyperscape a try.
Oh,
have you heard of this? It's Ubisoft's Battle Royale.
Yep.
It's crummy.
They were hyping that, pun, the hell out of it in the past month.
I'm the type of person that isn't burnt out on Battle Royale yet. I still appreciate it when games can innovate in the space, which is like I like Call of Duty. I like Call of Duty Warzone, and I liked Apex Legends when it first came out for the things that they do.
Yeah, Hyperscape is kind of sleazy. Tell you the truth.
Hyperscape is an unbalanced mess.
Yeah, but it's sleazy because it's a game which incorporates Twitch, people allowing Twitch to decide the results. Like saying, well, we know that live streaming money you can make for us.
That would be the least of its worries if it wasn't such a unbalanced heap of garbage.
Tell people it's a 100-player battle royale for the most part.
Yes, and it's like it takes place in a cyberspace world, like basically a battle royale version of Ready Player One. And
should be your first warning right there.
The wrinkle on it is that in addition to firearms, as you go through the city, you can pick up these hacks that give you different abilities, like invisibility hack turns you invisible for like a short period of time. A magnet hack will drop a node that will like yank other players towards it for a second. There's one called ball in which you just encase yourself in a big metal bouncy ball and just roll around. And that one's kind of fun. I will admit that.
Yeah, I mean, they do have a nice mechanic in which if you're killed, you become a quote-unquote echo. Uh-huh. And as an echo, you can't really do it, but you can warn your teammates about stuff.
Here's what's lame about it. Like, okay, so, like, you can pick up weapons, you can pick up hacks, and if you pick up if you pick up the same hack or weapon, it powers it up a little bit. There's all these different kinds of weapons and hacks, but, like, I would say 3 to 5 of them are actually viable in any given situation. There are weapons in that game that even if you power them up to the max, they are just absolute garbage in the face of other options. There's a weapon called the Skybreaker that is a one-fire energy cannon, a one-shot energy cannon that fires like an explosive round that causes an AoE damage effect. And it does 30 damage to an 100 life player. And then it has to reload for a long period of time. And I hate it.
I remember Unreal Tournament, the original, and it's like, you know what my favorite game mode of that was? Give everybody insta-jib rifles.
Yeah.
And then have a redeemer. And just, I'm going to blow everybody up now.
But yeah, Hyperscape is just, and like, it's way too easy to escape from any fight because the movement in the game is like mock speed. And then you also have the hacks like teleport or invisibility in which people can just decide when they don't want to fight anymore and leave.
Okay, we should also mention that the game is also free to play.
It is free to play.
But here's the thing. If you feel like you wasted your money on a free to play game, then that's bad.
I just, by the time I was done with it, I was like frustrated and angry, and I don't usually get that way.
It sounds like NBA 2K20 when it was on Game Pass. I'm not paying for it, but I feel like I'm wasting my money playing it.
And like the game is technically proficient, like it's built by the Rainbow Six Siege devs. That's another thing. Like, how could this have happened?
Yeah, Jean Christophe Guillot. Who am I introduced you to?
It's a pretty crowd. It's a stinker.
Well, it was just released. We'll see. It was released a week ago, in fact, and you know we'll see how people, you know, because here's the thing. People were really down on Rainbow Six Siege 2, and then they just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it and kept on fixing it. So the thing you can say about Ubisoft is that they listen to fans, and if fans have gripes, then they'll listen, and they'll say, okay. Because Ubisoft really wants to be part of that esports pie, and Hyperscape is another game that they want to be in the esports pie. And if they believe in a game, they're going to bend over backwards to make sure that it's right. So maybe it's one of those games you have to come back to in like 6 months. Because I'll tell you something. Town of Salem, I hated the cheating and the game throwing and everything else and the imbalances. When I first played it, this is like December 2015. I came back to it like a couple of months ago and they fixed everything. I said, yeah, okay. And I've been playing it nonstop.
Yeah, you talk about that game a lot. Like, it sounds like wherever it was is, like, far different from where it is now.
Here's the funny thing. I don't play ranked anymore because the other part of playing Town of Salem is that I want to have fun. And ranked is not fun. What is fun is being a coven leader in Coven Any All, unranked, and making a vigilante shoot his own mayor. So, and for those you don't know, if a vigilante shoots another town player, they shoot themselves that night out of guilt.
Goodness gracious.
So.
But like I actually had somebody get mad at me over a review I wrote for Hyperscape because I butchered that game, and then I was like, you know what, if you want to go play a game that's like in the Battle Royale space and actually innovates, go play Fall Guys. It's much better. It's free to play on PS4. Go play Fall Guys. It's much better than this, which is just basically a whole bunch of ideas that a PR marketing team said, those are cool, and slapped them together with some duct tape.
If you told me to go play Fall Guys, I would come back really angry about a week later. I do not like Fall Guys at all. I wish there was a game there. I mean, how is it different than Totally Accurate Battle Simulator?
I mean, like I said, I feel like it's an interesting, different thing in the Battle Royale. It is technically a Battle Royale, I'll say that. And it's interesting. It's different. it's out of the ordinary, and it's got a lot of ceiling for innovation and additions.
Scott, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Cold Steel in Minecraft.
Okay.
I've gotten farther into
Cold
Steel.
Oh, yeah, so you're continuing your Trials in the Sky, apparently.
Yes. Well, it's not Trials in the Sky.
I know it's not Trials in the Sky, but it's still Trials.
Right. It's, yeah, so I'm Chapter 4 now. It's getting a little bit more interesting. I think the plot is picking up a little bit more.
Did you know what you were getting into with the game? Did you know anything about it before you started playing, or was the plot entirely new to you?
It's not entirely new. Like I was saying before, the third game.
Oh, I know you
Sky,
played the games that came before it. I just mean, do you know anything about the game aside from the fact that the characters from the other games are? It's a sequel to the other
yes,
games.
Yes, I knew it was going to be set in Erebonia. I knew that. See, I don't want to get too spoilers too much, but I knew there were certain elements that were going to come up because of what happened in the third game. So story-wise, I had a few hints, and I just knew it was going to be a school setting. So, yeah, I didn't know how school setting it was going to be. You know, you got quizzes, and you got practical exams, and you have this dungeon you go to at the end of each month or each quarter or whatever. And
you want to know if maybe I'll plunk down the $20 to play Persona 4 Gold.
Yeah. It does feel like I'm supposed to be a teenager playing this or something.
But I've been watching videos on YouTube with this guy who's been ranking stuff in Civ 6, like ranking from S tier to F tier, best unique units, best natural wonders, best wonders, that sort of stuff. And it's been getting me sort of, you know... I think I'm getting my Civ 6 juice back, and I may get the Game Pass in like a month or two.
Yeah, there's an interesting, I think, next update coming up where you can select natural wonders that you want to show up. So if
yeah, they announced that today in a special yesterday actually in a special August update. Yeah, so
and
you can actually manipulate which stuff you want in the game, which stuff you don't want in the game. And
right.
You can't control where it'll be or even if it will be in the game. You can just say, no, I don't want that in the game because it sucks and I don't want
right.
it.
Right. It increases your chances of getting that wonder that you want. I mean, if you make it to just the exact number that's going to show up on a map, then you can pretty much guarantee that it will show up. You just don't know where. But they also have you can't see what your next tech is. It's like it's a randomizer or something there, or it's, I guess, just blanked out, which seems really different because people are very...
I think it's just a challenge for players. I mean, it's not...
Oh, yeah.
It's not. It's just a random challenge. It's not like it's anything serious.
Well, so, I mean, people do take their tech path very serious. You know, they got to do bronze working, then they got to do this one, then this one. So if it's like it goes to a tech that they didn't really want to go to...
Well,
you know, I'm not.
It's.
You know,
I think it's just a way of giving the player a challenge of.
Yeah.
You got this. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
You know, you wanted. You know, masonry so you could build that wall. But guess what? No, we gave you. We gave you archery instead. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, build archers, I guess.
Yeah. They also had the games. They also had the live stream for Baldur's Gate 3 today.
Yes, and I watched that.
They revealed a little bit more of the plot, and it's not quite. It doesn't go where I thought it was going to go. It's actually the action actually takes you down to the Nine Hells, where you have the Blood War, which is basically the chaotic evil demons versus the lawful evil devils in a forever battle because they despise each other. And they talked about how devils are trying to corrupt souls, that, you know, they come to the Nine Hells when they die and that sort of stuff. I like it. The game is very Dragon Age-ish. Origins.
Yes.
Mostly. Right from the fact that your character doesn't speak.
yeah, the silent protagonist.
Well, he does speak, you just don't hear his voice.
Right. You get a text selection, and it's played like there's a DM talking to you, and you're talking to the DM saying, I tell this person this thing or that thing. And there's a lot of skill checks on there, too. You'll have dexterity checks or charisma checks, whatever. Yeah, all the kind of checks. And you'll see it fail. You know, you get a little nice little
No, they actually roll the dice in front of you. They roll that 20-sided in front of you.
Mm-hmm. So you can see it if it fails, and then you have to deal with those consequences of failing. Like if you try to steal a ring from a goblin and you piss it off, and then you have to end up fighting it. So yeah, it's a
They also announced it's going to have a September 30th early access, allow you to play to level 4, and they have 5 ready-made characters for you, or you can make your own. And some of them are really weird. Like, one of them is an elven vampire character.
Yes, I saw that in the first play that they did. And that was a very interesting choice because it reminded me of somebody's character, one of my friend's characters. So I was like, why is there a character here? It was just very – it was an interesting choice. But, yeah, you can be this noble thief vampire I think there's a lot of choices in your characters, and they're going to be adding more in the early access as it goes along. So it seems like there's a good variety of story choices.
Yeah, and the characters looked like they were from Dragon Age Origins, too. It was very 2007-ish. I mean, that's not a knock, by the way. It just, I mean, maybe a little bit more detail, but it was very, I won't say cartoonish, but very, it wasn't going for realism.
I thought it was going for realism.
No, well, I mean, it's not going for you can see their pores realism.
Maybe not their pores, but you can definitely see their facial reactions, their emotions
yeah,
on
know,
their
but
faces.
It's like they don't have, you know, it's like, I won't say it's like an anime, but it's like a cartoon. And, you know, like I said, that's fine, you know. They also said the game is going to be delayed because of COVID-19 until 2021, which is fine. I can wait. There's a lot of games coming out, and I can just I can take my time with it.
It's good to take your time.
Here's the thing. I don't know if I want to play an early access single player game because I'm just going to be spoiling it for me on a game that's not finished yet. So I may not bother with the early access. I'll just wait until it's actually released.
Yeah, I think early access is maybe for people that want to try to improve the game and help them by, you know, giving feedback and
wait. That's all.
Yeah, that's fine too. I'm sure.
And they're going to add to the experience as they go through early access. Like it's not going to stay a static level 4
right.
type thing. They're going to trickle in content little by little.
And the game's going to go game's pretty long and deep, so we'll see. But it's looking good.
It's looking very good. I really like how much verticality there is in it and how much you can mess with that.
And here's the thing. I was only okay with the Baldur's Gate games back in the day. They were okay. They weren't my kind of D&D experience. This one looks more in line with the kind of D&D experience I'm looking for, which may make me go back and check out Divinity Original Sin. So
you should just skip right to Divinity Original Sin 2.
And why is that? Because actually, Original Sin is not the first Divinity game, just so you know.
Oh, I know. But Divinity Original Sin 2 is like the magnum opus of their stuff so far.
Okay. So
and I feel like you don't need to know what's going on to play Divinity Original Sin 2.
Okay. They already confirmed, by the way, that Minsk and Boo will be in it, and which makes sense because at the end of Baldur's Gate 2, they return to stone. So I mean, you go flesh to stone, you can go stone to flesh. And we all want to hear Minsk tell Boo to go for the eyes. Go for the eyes, Boo! Go for the eyes!
Yeah, they were talking about using your familiars and having them go quite a long distance, and they showed a clip of summoning a spider, and then they sent the spider a ways away to go, attack an NPC that was banging on a door, and the NPC didn't seem to notice it was getting attacked by a spider, which was
Larian having their hands on the Dungeons & Dragons license is like giving a kid access to a candy shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see those guys on the stream today? Skull-laden tables and...
Did you see the first Baldur's Gate 3 trailer?
But I'm talking about the actual developers. Like Sven Vink was...
The first Baldur's Gate teaser? I forgot his name. The guy who was in the armor, he was walking around...
Sven.
With his shield... Sven. He was walking around in the first... teaser, you know, with his thing and holding a flask with somebody in it, and
yeah,
it was
yeah,
all a complicated way to discuss what Seramorphosis was.
I love it.
So yeah, they're at Richard Garriott levels of weirdness. And for those who don't know, Richard Garriott is Lord British.
He, like, had this full set of armor on during the stream, and then one of his earpieces fell out, and he couldn't get it because the armor is just too bulky.
Yeah, so he had to have a helper come over and get his earpiece back.
That is a very specifically Baldur's Gate and Larian Studios problem to have during a live stream.
Like, it looked like it was very awkward, like he was just kind of propped there in his armor. Like,
yeah, it looked like he was inside a barrel.
Yeah.
It looked like just... he was like this head sticking out of a barrel instead.
Yeah.
But, you know, fun. I mean...
He was happy.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of complaints that it's not going to be pausable real time. I think those complaints are going to go away.
Well, it's turn-based, so it'll be fine.
That reminds me, by the way, they had Hard West on sale on Steam, and I bought the entire kit and caboodle for $2.89.
Nice.
Complete edition. For those of you who don't know, Hard West is basically XCOM in the West. So I wanted to... I'll try it out. So, we're not going to discuss it in the main part of the thing, but me and TJ were discussing it at length both last week and during the stream about this thing going on between Apple and Epic.
Uh-huh.
And now things have really they've really gotten even more deep. Like now Apple wants to cancel everything with Unreal in it.
Yes.
Anything with Unreal code in it, get off my thing. It's like that's what they're threatening. That's what Epic is claiming they're threatening.
Yeah, not only are they taking action to several business deals with Epic, but they're also talking about cutting Epic off from any use of development tools on iOS,
which is going to screw a lot of developers, you know, who happen to be on the Apple Arcade, by the way.
Yeah.
See, here's what Apple doesn't seem to understand. they're not Valve, and Valve doesn't try and pull that crap. It's going to be interesting to see how this, you know, the only people who are going to win are the consumers. The developers may lose, you know, but Apple isn't going at, well, okay, let me correct that. See, what Apple also fails to understand is it's not a platform that a lot of people use. I mean, people have iPads and iPhones, but gaming on iPads and iPhones are the last thing people do on those things.
It makes it very strange that Oceanhorn 2 is iOS exclusive. It's not on anything but the Apple Store, and I can't imagine them picking that gaming platform to be exclusive to. It's just they're missing out a whole market because there's a whole bunch of people that want that game for the Switch.
You know, it's not on iOS because of Apple charging 30% off everything, all transactions.
Fortnite.
Google Stadia and Xbox xCloud.
Oh, yeah.
They're not on iOS, even though Microsoft demoed xCloud early, like in February, I think it was, on an iPad. So, They're not. Epic isn't the only one who's having problems. I mean, Valve had to fight tooth and claw to have their store on it. Meanwhile, Google Android say, yeah, come on in. Whatever, I don't care. Oh, xCloud is a competing service? We don't care. Steam is a competing service? We don't care. We want people on our platform. And that's what Apple doesn't seem to understand, you know. They're a boutique company, you know. You have to spend 30% more on computers for the same power that you do with PCs because for the Apple brand and not much else, you know. I mean, they have the prettier computers for the most part. Okay, no one tell me about PC mods, PC case mods, please don't, no. I know, people can mod it. I'm talking about straight out the box. And I know about Alienware, and I know about other people who make pretty computers. I'm just saying, Apple created an entire aesthetic. There is a term called the iPod future. And what I mean by that is, if you say iPod future, it's like a futuristic film. It looks like everything's on an iPod or an iPad.
Like
or something.
Wally.
Yeah, that clean white, you know, queen light
Wally
white aesthetic.
Wally would be an example of
Wally,
that aesthetic.
Wally's girlfriend is basically an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
Or an iPad. Whatever. So, yeah, I don't know where that's going. And now we have some interesting rumors. Someone, I forgot who, I don't know if it was a retailer or anything like that, claimed that the Xbox Series X would be $600, or at least would have that level of cost. Meaning that to take $100 off would bring it down to $500. And we all know that the PlayStation 5 is probably going to be around $500. And that tells me a lot why Microsoft and Sony are both waiting for the other one to announce the price. Because Microsoft already said that they're not going to announce their price until Sony does. Because they don't want to be undercut this time. If they sell for $500, we're fine with that. That sort of thing. So I think Microsoft is waiting for Sony to announce the PlayStation 5 at $500 so they could announce $500 for the Xbox Series X. And they can do that because the Xbox Series S, which they might as well announce already because it's not a secret anymore. No one has fooled Microsoft, although I think maybe they know no one is fooled and they just want to build hype for the Xbox Series XS by not saying anything. I don't know. The ninth generation is starting out really, really weird. And COVID did no favors. Because imagine if they had done imagine if we had an actual E3. With the actual shows, you know. Microsoft announces their product. Sony announces their product. Boom, 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 that's it. Now this long, drawn-out shit. Microsoft is still doing E3. They still have yet to unveil the Xbox Series S, a.k.a. Lockhart. TJ? TJ?
TJ?
TJ? Hello?
I don't know where TJ is. He might be on mute.
No, I see him. He's trying to talk, I guess.
Okay.
Maybe he muted himself.
Yeah, he might have.
Oh, no, he has something in the chat. There's nothing in the chat. So, Scott, your impressions.
Of which item? Because we talked about several.
We're talking about the fact that E3 didn't happen, so we're having a long, drawn-out E3, and we don't know anything about the PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X, really, and S, X, whatever.
Well, the COVID did delay and draw things out, and so I think that might be partly why we have this, I guess, game of chicken, if you want to call it that. Because otherwise, they would have revealed, or one of them would have revealed it at E3, and then, like you said, you might get an undercut thing happening with the other one.
Yeah, I don't know if Sony would be willing to undercut $500. I think they're pretty much set on that price.
Yeah. I guess I shouldn't be surprised if that's the price they do. But
like I said, you know, Microsoft has that lower tier, the Xbox Series S, which will either be $250, $300, we don't know. It's going to replace the Xbox One X, though. It's going to be the base price of the Xbox One X. allowing you to have sort of a lesser Xbox Series X, but with a new controller, with a new ecosystem, everything like
that. Oh, yeah, the white controller that's controversial because it's white, I guess.
Because it was leaked. The box was leaked.
Okay.
It has a USB-C, instead of a USB, and it has, it has some minor things to it, like the triggers are a little bit smaller and sharper and put in a better place, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm a tool. I'll probably get the Series X anyway. I got to launch Xbox One X and launch Xbox One. So, I wonder what happened to TJ.
I'm not sure. I don't know. What's going on? Still on.
Or maybe he had to do something. He muted himself and had to do something.
Yeah, he probably did.
Oh, wait a minute. You know, one of the news items we have should have happened now. And that's Nintendo's Switch Indie presentation. So, did you see that?
No, I haven't. I saw there was a video for it, but I haven't seen it. Let me see if I can.
Let's look at the. Find it. Okay, so the nine biggest announcements. Let's talk about the nine biggest announcements at the Switch thing. Hades. It's by Supergiant. And wait, it's on PC. And I know it's on. Have you seen Hades?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to have to Google that because I don't want to comment on something I haven't seen yet. Let's see.
There's Garden Story.
I haven't seen that one either. I mean, if it's indie, then yeah, it's probably a lot of stuff I haven't seen. Okay, let's see.
A lot of these are all Untitled Goose Game, but you know, I don't really care. I don't really care. It's been done to death already.
The Goose Game is kind of silly and weird. You play
yeah,
the
but
goose
it's old news.
Yeah, it's
Manifold
been out.
Manifold Garden is going to be on PS4 and Xbox One as well. Barren Breakfast is going to be coming to 2021. Garden Story, Garden Story is also another Ooblets type game, except you play an Ooblet. You play a grape, basically.
Yeah, so Hades is you're playing a Greek hero, and it's Diablo clone.
Yeah, I mean, it's on PC. It's by the guys who did Bastion.
Yeah. Bastion. Bastion.
Supergiant did Bastion.
I should know that name.
Bastion is that game in which...
I know Bastion, but I don't know who made Bastion.
Supergiant.
Can't.
They're the same guys who did Hades and Transistor.
Okay. Yeah, the Hades has a cartoon look to it. It's very nice.
It's basically a Diablo game. Except you have godlike powers.
Yeah.
It's a Diablo roguelike, you know, that sort of thing.
It looks fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
You have Hyperspace Outlaw, which is basically... how do I describe this? It's a CDI game, basically. It's like you're playing a CDI game with full motion video and cheap early 90s 3D graphics. And the window space is sort of like the Amiga or Windows 3.1.
There's
Hypnospace Outlaw, I'm sorry.
There's also Rashi and Ancient Epic, and it looks like it plays like a Prince of Persia game. I guess you're a woman in a red dress. I can't tell what else is going on with the story, and it's a third person play. It looks like it's playing like a Prince of Persia, as in like parkour puzzles and lots of action. running and jumping everywhere, fighting different things.
There's also a game called Card Shark, which is a 2D, well, I'm not going to say a platformer, but it has that look. It's basically a game in which you cheat at cards. And it's on Switch and PC.
I'm not too into card games, but I guess cheating at card games is an idea.
What happened to Scott? What happened to TJ? He's just gone.
Looks like there's a Metroidvania called Evergate, and you're this little, looks like a little tiny panda, and you're using lights to move yourself around. You're going through portals. That's very interesting.
By the way, something we didn't mention, I almost forgot. EA Play is coming to Steam, which is not the biggest surprise, because that's been rumored. But there is another new rumor in which EA Play is coming to Game Pass, which would be a tremendous wow. So that is a subscription. That's a subscription that was initiated on Xbox, you know, as a test for this sort of thing. So it's sort of interesting. Have you seen Baron Breakfast?
No.
Okay, you're a bear that runs a bed and breakfast.
Okay.
It's one of those games. It's like The Sims, in which you build your hotel. You get the. Although I will say that this is very rustic, so instead of having a bathroom, you build an outhouse.
Okay. Yeah, that's very rustic, all right. definitely different. I guess, are you cooking meals, or are you just...
Like... Yeah, and you have these hunters that just... that are very, very rustic, let's just say. This podcast is going nowhere without TJ.
Sorry.
Hello?
Well, I'm here.
Okay, because... I wanted to talk to him about the other two games.
Wait. I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay, there you are.
I'm back. Yay.
So I'm going to read the game news, the first game news. Spelunky 2 is now on Steam with updated release window. This comes from PC Gamer. Perhaps the most hotly anticipated platformer release of the game, the Spelunky 2 Steam page is now up. The new roguelike platformer is set to release on PlayStation 4 on September 15th, but the PC release date has remained rather nebulous, with a simple statement that would be shortly after. Well, that information is now ever so slightly less nebulous. Developer Derek Hughes says they're aiming to get Spelunky 2 out the door, quote unquote, no later than a few weeks after the PS4 release. That's probably putting it something to like early to mid October. Now, I know that you're really excited over Spelunky 2, TJ.
Absolutely. I think it's one of the best roguelike games out there. Like, I really, 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 really enjoyed the first game, and they're adding online multiplayer to the second one, and among a whole bunch of other features. So, like, yeah, more places to play Spelunky 2 is great.
I'm going to bet you it'll be on Xbox and Switch.
I wonder if they're eventually going to add cross... I wonder if they'll eventually add cross-play to this, because it seems like the type of game that would totally benefit from that.
I don't know. I mean, I know it would be possible on PC, but Sony's been a little bit reticent about doing crossplay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But yeah, so like, I guess we'll see very specifically when it launches on other platforms afterwards. But it's good to know that that door is open and we're gonna see it on more than just the PS4.
Yeah, we were also discussing how. In deep, the entire Epic and Apple thing was getting.
Oh yeah, it's a it's intense.
No,
I would not have predicted that this fight would have broken out between Epic and Apple, and about lawsuits.
You know, Epic started making its moves like a few months ago, making little tweaks. Just to get under Apple's nerves before starting.
Yeah, and like, This is not – it's not like – Epic is not a friend of the people. It's not like Epic fighting the good fight for a for gamer kind. Epic wants to have a – Epic wants to have their apps on the store without having to pay somebody.
30%. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, Microsoft and Google are both intently watching because they want xCloud and they want Stadia on iOS without having to pay Apple a huge chunk of their thing. And Valve had to fight tooth and claw to have Steam on Apple.
Yeah, so like, this is going to get wild and super ugly because it's a $1 billion corporation versus a $1 trillion corporation.
And the indie developers are going to get screwed because they'll get their games pulled for using Unreal Engine, which also includes a lot of games in the Apple Arcade.
Yeah.
But, you know, they may not be fighting the quote-unquote good fight, but, you know, Apple needs to be taken down a few pegs because they think they're something that they're not. They're not really major players in the game industry. And the
Definitely
entire Apple
not.
Arcade thing was sort of like putting their toe in the water. But while they could bully around, you know, small apps, and as a matter of fact, speaking of bullying, you also had that them trying to bully, oh damn, what was the name of that thing with the pear as a logo? Prepared. And they said that people will confuse it with Apple, which is complete and utter bullshit. But usually Apple wins these things because they could just have lawyers bully them. But this company said, no. We don't care. We're gonna make our stand here. All we do are fruit recipes. There's no way people are going to confuse us with Apple.
Yeah. It's worth noting, Epic has had this fight before about platforms and all – all this jazz, which is the reason why the Epic Game Store exists.
I mean, the other thing is that they were the tip of the spear in terms of getting cross-platform play going. Mm-hmm. Which is why I was reminded of this. You know, the entire reason why Sony said, fine, whatever, we'll do cross-platform play was because of Fortnite.
Right. But also, like, Apple, but also Epic Game Store didn't want to pay Valve anymore. They didn't want to pay Valve its fees for hosting its games on there, and so they went and made their own thing, and that's why the Epic Game Store exists.
That's why I'm glad I'm part of the press thing because I have a lot of free games from Epic. And oh, you know, not just me though. They have a lot of really good games that are free every other week. Like right now, free on the Epic Game Store is what are the two games again? I gotta check. But, you know, they've been releasing some really big games for free. Oh, that's right. 24 Hours, they had that free, what was it? It was a new game, too. I think I talked about it. Yeah, it's one of the news items we have here. 7.5 million players claimed the free copy of Total War Saga Troy.
Yes.
And this is the next news item. Yes, so it's a good segue. During its 24-hour free giveaway period on the Epic Games Store, publisher Sega said that 7.5 million players claimed a free copy of Troy during the giveaway, exceeding even Sega's rosiest projections. When Epic partnered with Take-Two to make Grand Theft Auto V free earlier this year, it led to a record-setting quarter for the publisher. The free giveaway actually boosted GTA V sales at their highest point since its PC launch in 2015. So Sega is bragging that they gave away 2.5 million copies of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people, well, that's lost revenue. And we're finding, no, it's not.
No. Epic has to pay, don't they? Or
no.
Somebody's paying.
No. They don't, no. The point is it's free advertising. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Total War Saga Troy is a niche product. It's a niche project, bro.
Yes, for sure.
You know, this is Sega saying, "Hey, check out this kind of game, and if you like it, we have a lot more games that are just like it because they have a huge Total War library."
Yeah, like I wouldn't say that Total War Saga Troy is like dipping your toes in the water, but it's not like it's not as vast as.
Let's just say it's dipping your toes in shark infested, prawn infested water. Uh-huh. it's kind of hardcore, but there are people who look at the Total War game and say, try it someday. And they're just telling them, yeah, I'll try it now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's another game that's coming that's going to be on Game Pass. And I was shocked, but not too shocked, but pleasantly surprised. And that's Crusader Kings 3. It's going to be on Game Pass. And it's one of those games in which people say, ooh, you know, I want to try that. And I'm pretty sure TJ is hyper aware of this, but they've been doing a lot of developer diaries for Crusader Kings 3 lately.
Yes, they have. And I'm way into it, and I'll have more to say about that game.
Yeah, I know you're covering for Shack News. Yes. Let's just say, you know, one of the things that happened in one of the things is that they did an assassination attempt on the king's brother. Was it? No, it was the brother of the king. Was it the brother of the king, or was it a king whose brother was also a king? Whatever. It was a power play. Unfortunately, the king left a 2-year-old son alive, who is now, you know, a king because of rights of succession. And the devil said, we're just going to murder the shit out of that boy.
Uh-huh.
And no one was bothered by it. In-game, I mean, none of the nobles were bothered by that. They were slightly bothered about the king being killed, but the king's son, fuck it. Toss the kid into the river. We don't care. There's a lot of unexpected stuff that happens in Crusader Kings 2. Like, one of the later patches made it so that you gave birth to the Antichrist.
There was a bit during the hands-on preview.
For three.
In which the king that I was playing as... He, like, there was a situation that came up where, like, he had a mild illness or something. And so, like, it was going to keep him from being able to rule at full capacity. So I could either stick it out and do my best with reasonably lessened abilities for a while. Or like a little bit of a penalty, or I could look to my best medical advisors to search for a cure, and I was like, okay, let's see what happens if I look to my medical advisors.
I have assassinated.
No, they accidentally castrated my king.
The hell!
I hope you already had offspring.
Yes, thankfully, but it was like it was pretty intense.
Yeah. There are so many ways to assassinate other people too, as well, that I saw.
Yeah, so
yeah,
like
the
situations
I hope
you're
not scared of spiders.
Yeah, so like the situations that are going to come up in that game are going to be crazy. I can't wait to see more.
And here's the thing about Crusader Kings 3, is that just like Crusader Kings 2, they're not going to make money on Crusader Kings 3. They're going to make money on the expansion after expansion after expansion after expansion. If you wanted to buy Crusader Kings 2 with all the expansions, it's going to run you $250. Maybe less when But Crusader Kings 2 right now, vanilla, is free on Steam. It's like The Sims, you know. Yeah, you have the base game, but it's kind of boring unless you spice it up.
Hmm. Yeah, I would agree. And like, there's like got to be over $180 worth of Crusader Kings 2 expansions at this point, right?
Yeah, I already said like $250 to buy the entire kit and caboodle.
That's so much money for one game.
Yeah, but here's the thing: you get addicted to the intrigue and the rain and all that stuff, and then you see, oh. Well, look, there's an expansion that allows me to go into Africa and deal with that. Or, no, the Far East. Oh, no, the New World. You know, oh, I can have a pope now. You know, that sort of stuff.
It really is for people that have been along for the ride since the beginning and have been with it since they're releasing them, in which case it doesn't look so bad if it's just like, oh, a $5 content pack, $10 content pack? Okay, I'll buy that. But it's just there's so much of it now that – it's a massive collection.
Yeah.
I guess look for a Steam sale then.
Yeah, for sure.
For two? I mean, yeah, probably. I mean, at some point. But even so, you know, I can see where having Crusader Kings 2 with all the DLC will still run, like, 5 years from now, will still run, like, $90 on sale.
Yeah, that's a lot.
You know. But here's the thing. If you're into that sort of stuff, it's worth it. And the best part is, you can see if you want to play Crusader Kings 2 because the base game is free. You know, you want to see. The only problem I have with Crusader Kings 2 is even with all the updates till now, the tutorial kind of sucks. So I'm hoping, you know, and I'm hearing, we made it better in 3, and my reaction is, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Because there's so much you can do. There are so many options open. It's not like it's a hard game to do things in. It's a hard game to decide what to do and when to do it and if it's the right time to do it. Because you don't want to send your troops in without making sure this happens and this happens, you know, that sort of stuff. Or you may be wasting your time going after this when you should be doing this. It's complicated in terms of all the decisions you have to make.
Mm-hmm.
Not the actual game. It's like, you were playing that game Old World, right, Scott?
Overworld?
Old World. Remember that was
Old
game?
Oh, Old World. Yes, I was playing that on Epic. I have to see if they updated that, because it was
buggy. Bare bones, yeah. I'm just saying, picture that times 10.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Crusader Kings, yeah. I've heard that's you have to watch out for assassination plots, like you were saying, and there's a lot of intrigue and a lot of backstabbing and just...
Marrying your sister, that sort of thing.
Of course, yeah.
Hey, you know, they're blue bloods for a reason.
Yeah. They keep it in the family.
Yep. Just ask Ptolemy and Cleopatra. If you want to see some really batshit crazy stuff in a line, just look at the line of Ptolemy and Cleopatra and wonder how in the world Cleopatra 7 still had a brain that worked after all that. Marrying your mother, marrying your sister, marrying your mother, marrying your daughter, marrying your brother, marrying your first cousin. It's just look at that lineage and just slap your head and say, yeah, things were really different back then, or at least in royalty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that it's all that different. I mean, Franklin Roosevelt was was from Theodore Roosevelt marrying his first cousin, I believe. He was a product of first cousin thing. So let's get back to Splunky 2.
We're kind of jumping all over the place here.
Yeah.
So, let me ask you a question. Did you watch the Nintendo Indie Showcase today?
Yes, of course I did.
Okay. So Hades is coming out. It's already out on PC, so...
It's been in early access, and they are still in early access. This launch that they showed off today is going to be coming in September, and it's going to be their 1.0 launch on both Steam, Epic Game Store, and then also porting the game over to Nintendo Switch.
It looks pretty good.
Oh, it's so incredibly good.
If you need a different looking roguelike with different types of powers, yeah.
If you like Bastion or Transistor, it's from the same folks.
Yeah, super.
Right.
You know. Wait. Are you gonna have the same sexy voice from Bastion?
You said it was on Steam.
It is.
It's been on Epic Game Store as an exclusive for a while.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. That's okay. Sorry.
So.
Also, stellar soundtrack. I love the soundtrack in that game. Darren Korb is really, really good at what he does.
So, we also have Garden Story, which is if you liked Ooblets but wanted to play as an Ooblet.
Garden
Story puts you in the role of a grape. It's Stardew Valley, and just you're a grape instead.
Yes. And you have vegetable friends that you help.
Like I said, it's Ooblets where you play as the Ooblet.
When I played it, it felt very Zelda-esque.
Really?
Yes. I had a demo of it back at PAX South, back when events happened earlier this year. but it was a good time. It has a narrative behind it. There's a story, and it was a cute one.
I'm looking forward to Hypnospace, actually. Hypnospace Plus, actually. Because it's basically... Oh, God. it's like a CD-ROM game with GeoCities websites. It's just very 90s-esque. You've seen Hypnospace, right?
I did see it today, although I don't know. That was one of the things that I wasn't too
Really? You don't like going back to the 90s with CD-ROM games?
No, I do.
I feel like it's like you're playing Seventh Guest. But
there's another game that does that.
Going through the cheapest websites that were like from Angel Fire and GeoCities, and I felt like I was on AOL again watching it.
There's a game like that where it like emulates a Windows 95 browser screen, and it's like a dungeon crawler journey.
Oh yeah, we played that. Yes. Damn it. I know the name. I know the game you're talking about. I actually played it. It's fun. It actually emulates a Windows 3.1 game. And it was by Adult Swim, too.
Yes.
Adult Swim games. Let's look at the Adult Swim games, because as soon as I see the name of it, I'll know which one it is. And friggin' no strings.
Kingsway.
What?
Kingsway.
Yeah, Kingsway. That's right. Yeah, that one just had, when you're fighting, it opens up another window, and then this opens up another window, and you have to keep looking at all these windows at once. It's a charming game. I mean, it wasn't like Battleship Brigade, which just hooked me.
Yeah, but like there, it was what we saw out of the what was it called? Hyper. What was the name of the game today?
Hypnospace Plus.
I'm trying to find it on my list.
It's basically a CD-ROM game from the 90s.
Yes. It's not bad looking.
Yeah. I mean, card chart looks pretty, and I like the idea of you're playing cards, but the main part of the game is learning how to cheat.
Card chart was maybe one of my favorite things that I saw today.
I mean, the artwork, it looks very 18th century. It's like I'm watching Barry Lyndon, except in 16-bit.
Raji was an interesting one, Scott. I saw that one too. It was
which one?
It made me think of Prince of Persia, the way they were moving around, and it looked like there were parkour puzzles, and the art style just kind of reminded me of older school Prince of Persia. And it looks like she's finding some pretty powerful figures too. That looked good. So yeah, it looked like there were some good indie games.
You have Grindstone, which is basically, what's the name of that show on Cartoon Network? The one with the gems.
Steven Universe.
Steven Universe. Yeah, Steven Universe meets Candy Crush, basically.
Here's a good question. Do you think the Nintendo Switch will be able to properly handle Subnautica?
I don't know. Well, if it could do Skyrim.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. I have a feeling there will be a new Switch, which will have a larger hard drive.
Yeah, on the Uiden campaign, they were holding off on doing a Nintendo Switch release because they, I guess, have a feeling there might be, or they at least just don't want to, they just want to keep it open in case there is another Switch and they don't have to downgrade the game to play on Switch, because they feel that, I guess they feel the hardware isn't capable of running Uiden. which kind of surprised me since it was able to run Octopath, which is what they're kind of basing their game style or engine on. Well, maybe not engine, but their style with that 2D art or 2.5 2D art. So I guess there's some people that really, I don't know, have a good inkling that there's going to be another Switch.
It's not going to be the Switch 2, but it's going to be a Switch with a larger hard drive.
Okay.
Because hard drives are getting really, really cheap. There's a new news item which I want to talk about, and that is Batman Arkham Studio accused of failing to prevent sexual harassment in a letter that was sent nearly 2 years ago. Nearly 2 years ago, several female employees at Rocksteady Studios, the developer behind the Batman Arkham game, sent a letter to management accusing the studio of failing to prevent sexual harassment and sexism in the workplace, according to a new report by The Guardian. The letter, which was reportedly sent to management in November 2018, was signed by 10 of the 16 women employed by the London-based studio. Several issues addressed in the letter to management include continuous unprofessional behavior inside the office, such as derogatory and sexually explicit remarks about women, slurs targeted at the transgender community, and various forms of sexual harassment, quote-unquote, in the form of unwanted advancements, leering at parts of a woman's body, and inappropriate comments at the office. And one of the things that the letter brings up, which I find very interesting, is that this sort of attitude bled into the games itself, which is why you have extremely hyper-sexualized Harley Quinn and hyper-sexualized Poison Ivy. And the more we talk about Arkham Knight, which it gets into getting women getting the shit beat out of them to an extreme, to the point where I felt uncomfortable. And it just made me wonder. And I think this basically confirms, yeah, this is why.
Yeah, like, this was... There's a lot of things that came together for this thing. First off, the fact of the matter was that the reason this is coming to light now is because the only thing they did about this letter was, like, maybe 2 years ago. They basically had a conference about it, and everybody had to sign a form saying they understood what the conference was about. And that's pretty much the only thing they did about it.
Also, it's also coming up because they're working on a new game, Batman Arkham Gotham Knights.
They're working on Suicide Squad, is my understanding.
Oh, well, someone's working on Gotham Knights.
WB Montreal posted a thing recently about...
Well, here's the thing, you know, WB is the one who publishes the Arkham game, so...
Oh, no, I mean WB Montreal, who worked on... they worked on Arkham Origins.
I'm just saying, Warner Bros. Is the one who publishes the games.
Right. But, it does coincide with the fact that they did just announce, like, they just teased that they're going to be doing a Suicide Squad game. And they're about to reveal that this Saturday on the 22nd.
They're also teasing the heck out of Gotham Knights, too.
So, like, the timing is right, but also in the conversation, the person that brought the letter up basically said they didn't do anything about this, so now I'm making this public. And essentially, like, they're hoping, and we'll see what happens, because they did cite, like, the what's going on at Ubisoft, where Ubisoft has let go of a lot of major talent and creators because of intense workplace sexual harassment and toxicity. Like, Serge Hascote basically screwed over the plots of Assassin's Creed games from Syndicate through Origins through Odyssey. And for those who don't know, he was running a culture of in which he basically the core of it was women don't sell video games. So
that's stupid.
Yeah. So Syndicate was originally supposed to be very much more focused on the female protagonist. Similarly, Origins was actually supposed to focus in on the character that ended up.
Oh no, no, not Cleopatra. Yeah. What's her name again?
The character's wife.
No, I know. I'm trying to remember her name.
Yeah, I remember reading that too.
And so, like, when you look at, like, all the things this guy had a hand in, that's a massive amount of major titles that were vastly redirected by this guy being an asshole.
Yeah, and remember, the games that everybody loved of the Assassin's Creed, it was shepherded by Jade Raymond.
Yeah, so...
Everything you liked about Assassin's Creed was her.
Yeah. So
I don't know how anyone can say that when you had Sierra back in like the 80s and 90s with Roberta Williams and all those adventure games, which were huge at the time. And it just seems strange.
Well, I'm not going to go into the entire thing about the video game crash again. I already went over this with Paul. We're not going to rehash it.
Serge Hascut was such a complete asshole that he drove what was his name? The guy who worked on – the guy who pretty much designed Dragon Age Origins.
David Cater, Gator?
Let me see.
David Gator. Jeez. David Gator, right. Mike Laidlaw?
Yeah. Mike had a huge he worked at Ubisoft for a while, and the rumor was that he was working on a King Arthur RPG. And it got canceled because Serge Hascut hated fantasy fiction and basically had a philosophy of, if it's not as good as Lord of the Rings, we're not doing it.
Let's just say Mike Laidlaw is best known for Dragon Age and Dragon Age 2, and he created a really deep world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been nominated for a BAFTA a lot, you know? And what else did he... Yeah, so that, by the way, this was earlier this year. Mike Laidlaw quit. It was back
yes.
in February.
Eventually, like, it came to light just like how stifled his team was by trying to get this guy's approval
and
on the
by
game.
The name of the game was Gods and Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Gods and Monsters?
Yep. It was announced last year at E3 of 2019.
Yeah, I saw that. There was some. Play of that, not play, gameplay of it where they were running down a mountain and showing. It did remind me of Breath of the Wild, the aesthetic. But so it was weird to watch them go all the way down a cliffside without a glider. I was like, where's your glider? But they didn't have one.
Yeah. So Mike Laidlaw, he also did Mass Effect, but not to the extent of Drew Karpyshyn, but. He also did one of my favorite games, which was Jade Empire. And, yeah. You know, they keep on saying, we're going to make Jade Empire 2. We're going to make Jade... Yeah, whatever. I don't... It's going to come out right after Beyond Good and Evil 3. So, yeah. So there's a lot of crap going on right now, and we'll see what happens. I just, you know, I didn't mind too much the first Arkham game with Harley Quinn because she was dressing up as a nurse, you know, and she was just taunting Batman. And then her breasts kept on getting bigger and bigger and bigger as the games went on. And it's just, there was something off there. It was sort of like, you know what? I would not be shocked to hear if Sony Santa Monica was revealed that they had tons of sexual harassment there. But I don't even think a single woman worked at Sony Santa Monica. I don't think there was a single XX chromosome in that studio.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a huge bummer because like I was super interested, and I still kind of am interested in a Suicide Squad game and what they would do with that.
Yeah.
But man, like, that is a dark cloud to have over your head going right into your game reveal.
I mean, I can see, you know, here's the thing. You're Batman, but you're only Batman. I can see in a Suicide Squad game in which you would flip between characters and you have to pick which character you're going to use for each situation. You know, are you going to use Deadshot? You can use Captain Boomerang? You can use Harley? You're going to use Bronze Tiger? You know. and I can see where the appeal of that is. You're no longer just focused on one hero. Now you have a bunch of anti-heroes that you can pick from. And I would love to see a Batman game that's like that. I mean, one of the best parts of playing some of the latter Batman games is when you play as Robin, or you play as Catwoman, or you play as Harley.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So Suicide Squad would basically be playing that for an entire game.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. It's kind of – we only have one teaser image to go off of right now. And mind you, this is ahead of the reveal that's going up on the 22nd. But it just shows like it shows Superman, what looks like Superman, but he looks weird and discolored. And we talked about this before. It could be like that it's Injustice 2 universe of Superman.
Maybe it's Bizarro.
Or maybe it's Bizarro, which I would dig.
Well, here's the
Bizarro,
thing.
Bizarro seems like Bizarro seems like a very Suicide Squad villain to tackle.
Because you have Superman, except he talked this way.
Yeah.
He'd love you. yeah. Suicide, or, you know, Solomon Grundy. I guess you could have them fight the Enchantress again.
Yeah.
And
who knows? We'll know this Saturday.
And do you want... That reminds me... did we discuss this last week? I think we talked a little bit about Injustice 3. I think that was one of the subjects, actually.
That was something we talked about on the last episode.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Injustice 3. I really am. Because, you know, as good as Injustice 2 is, I want more. And, I want to see which new characters you can play as. And, you know, here's the thing. I wouldn't mind if they said, we're not going to have you play as Superman anymore, Batman, or Wonder Woman. Have some new characters come out and play who are much more interesting. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Like,
I mean, Atrocitus was dull to play as, to tell you the truth.
I liked Atrocitus. He was my main.
Yeah, I know. But I'm talking about, in terms of story, he was dull.
Oh, yeah, because his whole point is just, I'm mad all the time.
Imagine if you played as Larfleeze. For those who don't know, Larfleeze is the only owner of the Orange Ring of Avarice. And I love his, you know how every every lantern has their own thing, you know, like, you know, in brightest day and darkest night, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Larfleeze's goes something like this. What yours is mine, and mine, 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 not yours.
I would also dig characters like Granny Goodness. That would be a fun one to play.
As?
Play as Granny Goodness,
no,
yes.
You know, instead of playing as Granny Goodness, let's just play as the characters from the female Furies. And you could handle it the same way they did the Teenage Ninja Turtles. You play
Maybe.
As one of them, but they can be an assist while you're fighting.
That'd be cool. I'd dig it.
Dashina, and then you have Stompa come in and stomp someone. So, yeah, I'm showing my comic book geekery, aren't I? By the way, speaking of DC, there's a lot of shit going on right now with DC.
Yeah, they released a whole bunch of employees, didn't they?
Yep, they fired a lot of people. There's a lot of heads. And the problem right now, to me right now, is that the cart is being put before the horse. I mean, comics only make a fraction of what movies, TV shows, and video games make.
Yeah. It's a bummer. It really is. Like, I don't... And I have an inkling that the reason that we're suddenly seeing... they had this DC fandom thing arguably planned, but at the same time, I suspect that the reason that we're seeing so many sudden DC video games now was WB like pretty much telling DC, hey, look, we're working on something, don't fire us.
Well, here's the other thing, too. The things that the DC characters are doing better than Marvel are video games, and yeah, you can tell me Spider-Man, yeah, whatever. Spider-Man is just Batman with new paint on it. They're ripping off Batman so bad, you're wondering where Robin is. And animated films. you know. But movies make the big money, but video games make even more money than movies do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make a good video game, no one says, please don't make a sequel. In video games, the answer is, yes, please make a sequel. It's very hard, you know, the only way you can make a bad sequel is if the gameplay sucks. You don't have to worry about plot. You don't have to worry about dialogue as much. Because no matter how bad the plot or dialogue will be, if the gameplay is solid and you have a good multiplayer, you can coast on that for years. Movies, yeah, we'll release a DVD or Blu-ray. And then we'll release a special edition Blu-ray. And then we'll release it on 4K. That's all you can do with a movie after it's released.
Yeah. I still like... I have a feeling that the reason we're seeing so many DC games being teased right now is because of this whole layoffs thing. Like, yeah. A lot of people looking to protect their jobs.
I just wish Telltale didn't fold, because I really want to see a Batman Telltale game part 3.
Yeah, that would have been great.
It didn't sell, but, you know, it was just so fun to play.
It was a really interesting alternate universe take on what's been done with the Batman character, but and his villains before.
Yeah, like, for one thing, Thomas Wayne was a criminal. He was a mob boss. Mm-hmm. And Joe Chill was someone who was a hitman and hired to take him out. And he sent his enemies into an insane asylum, including Oswald Cobblepot's mother. So now you have this entire thing in which Bruce is trying not to be like his father. So anyways, Scott.
Yes.
Any thoughts? Because we've basically drowned you out there.
That's all right. Yeah, it's terrible when people are getting let go, and this whole COVID situation. You know,
Let's talk about DC Comics. Do you follow them?
No, I haven't been following them, so I didn't hear about the layoffs. So
did you play the games though? No,
I haven't played any Batman games.
You never played any Arkham games?
No, I haven't. And you're telling me about how there's just the accusations of, well, maybe not even just that. The behavior is really bad that you were talking about. And I don't know. It just never seemed like a game I wanted to play. You know, I watched some Let's Plays of it. But it just didn't seem like what I wanted to play, and there are other games, like I have like other games on my Steam list that I need to play, and it just wasn't my cup of tea, I guess, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Batman Arkham Asylum is one of those games in which you look in hindsight, it is one of the most influential games of all time. When you ever put an influential game in there and you say, why? Well, the combat system, everybody's copied. And to a lesser degree, the Predator stealth stuff. But basically the combat. If you play the Middle-Earth Shadows of games, they basically took the Batman style and made it better. They did the same thing with Spider-Man. They did, you know. Now, here's the thing. You have X to punch, Y to counter, B to stun, A to move.
Uh-huh.
Every third-person action game basically uses that mechanic. Even if it's 2D, actually. Doesn't Guacamelee do something like that? I know Guacamelee does. This is individual moves to counter. Anyways, but it's just been extremely influential. But on the other hand, you know, I knew there was something wrong with the latter games. Arkham City wasn't bad. As a matter of fact, I think Arkham City was a little demure in comparison to even though Catwoman was sexy, she wasn't over the top sexy.
Uh-huh.
You know, but in Arkham Knight, she's chained, she's treated as a slave, and Batman has to rescue her and take the collar off her, literally.
Yeah. It's pretty crummy.
And, you know, and here's the thing. I actually liked Arkham Origins. And that was not made by Rocksteady, by the way.
Right. That was WB Montreal.
And, you know, now that I look back on it, I notice that all the women in it are not hypersexualized.
Mm-hmm.
Like Copperhead. She's fucking creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And she bends weird ways because she has what is her story again? She has some snake DNA in her, so she has a little bit more bendiness to her. But she's creepy as fuck. But she's not sexualized. Yep. No, Talia's in the other game. She's an origin.
Yeah.
What other female characters do you have in Origins? I know you have Copperhead, and I think that might be it. I'm not sure. Oh, you have Harley in it.
Yeah.
No, you don't have Harley. No, it's the origin of the Joker. So, but I'm just saying, you know, it's a lot less. I felt a lot less dirty playing Origins than I did Arkham Knight.
Yeah, and. I mean, I guess it is what it is at this point. Like, it's I would like there to not be these kinds of issues in game development more than I would like new games from these people.
Well, you mean like God of Three's Bros Before Hoes controversy?
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, you know, believe it or not, women do game.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to want to play the game. And why would they want to play a game in which certain things happen? You know?
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll just end this on a down note. Look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. If you enjoy feedback, so leave us comments on our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. So shout out to guys on iTunes comments and leave some iTunes comments. I will be playing Microsoft Flight Simulator to see if I can get into it. Oh, that's, you know, they did the teaser for Bus Simulator 21, and I am hyped for that.
I can't imagine wanting to play that game.
I am hyped for it. I'm probably the most hyped person on Earth, which isn't saying much. I mean, TJ would know. He watched me playing it.
Yes. Wait, which one are we talking about?
Bus Simulator.
Bus Simulator, yeah.
Oh, yeah. People are rude in that game.
Oh.
They're rude?
Yeah. I remember, like, you had a whole bunch of assholes.
No, I thought you meant other players. No, yeah. No, I mean, yeah, they're kind of stupid. It just, pedestrian just walks up when I'm making a turn. Pedestrian picks that point. You know, I'm going to cross the street now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that car cut me off, too.
Well, that and people trying to get on your bus without a ticket or paying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what happens when you do that sort of thing in which you don't pay. You get a slip. You know, you have a bus pass. But, yeah, and then I had to run out and get that person's cell phone that they left it on the seat. But no, I'm really looking forward to Bus Simulator 21. I'm hoping they fix a lot of the niggles that I had with it. Anyways, you can find me at Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chugs.
You can find me at Alpha Shark.
And this episode will be a bitch to edit, but I'm going to have to do it. See you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun, be cool, play games, y'all.